There it is. You know what time it is when you hear that beat. It's ready for The Binge Boys, episode number 245. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. And if you've listened to every single episode, welcome back. The premise is that each week, myself, Logan, and Tanner break down the hottest in TV and movies on the Tuesday episode. However, on the Thursday episode, we got a little bonus content coming. That is the run-through. On those episodes, usually Logan, he's the run-through king over there. He's joined by a co-host who wants to just get in deep on a different movie or TV series, just break it down, just what works about it, what's aged good, what's aged bad, just all the things. Logan, how about you give people a little bit of a taste? What's going on that schedule?
Yeah, man. So for the run through for the rest of the year, I'll give the people a little insight. It's the first episode of November. So we only got a few more weeks left. So on that schedule, we have this week, we have Legally Blonde, okay, hosted by myself and a newcomer to the Binge Boys, a good friend of mine, Miranda. Her husband, Jordan, filled in a few weeks ago on Plain and Simple. If you've listened to that program and you heard Jordan talk. But after that, next week, we've got I Am Legend with that Jordan. The week after that, Tanner and I tackle Batman from 1989. The week after that, I'm doing National Treasure with a friend of the pod or friends of the program, the gals over at Creeps and Crimes podcast.
Ooh,
okay. They're jumping on to do some National Treasure.
That's like conspiratorial. That sort of like is right up their alley.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of thievery going on.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of thievery in that movie. I don't know. I've never seen it. I've never seen National Treasure. I know.
That blows my mind.
It blows everybody's mind, and I'm so excited to be finally watching it. Same with I Am Legend and Legally Blonde. I had never seen those before until about a week ago. And we're doing it. So yeah, that's nice. That's coming up for the next couple weeks.
There we go. So if you want to make sure you do not miss an episode, the first thing you really want to do is get over to Instagram. You've got one. You're posting 5 grams. You listen to us. You know what you're doing. But follow us at Binge Boys Podcast and on Twitter at Binge Boys Pod. All one word. That's where you'll get our announcements of new episodes, top 5 lists, reviews, etc. And then after that, go over to the Apple Podcast player and make sure you've left that 5-star rating and a little quick review. Just helps us climb the charts, helps us beat out our big dog rivals.
Hell yeah.
Anyway.
Boom.
So before we get into it, gotta say hello to a few friends of the program. The first one is Prepped and Ready Meals. Going into the new year, you gotta start thinking about Q1. Like Q4 is like going, but like you always gotta be thinking a quarter ahead. So everyone wants to be on their fitness journey, and one of the biggest aspects of that lifestyle is eating healthy and meal preparation. If you know what to eat, just do it. Get it ahead of time. Don't think about it when you're hungry. That's where Prepped and Ready comes in. They deliver high quality, fresh meals with health and fitness in mind, with a variety of healthy, low calorie, but delicious meals that can cater to anyone's personal needs. If you live in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area and you're interested in meal prep made simple, you can go to preppedreadymeals.com, use codes BINGE15 at checkout for 15% off your first time order. So you're probably like all in watching like World Series games, the Braves, they're doing it. So you don't want to think about dinner. You just want sports, nothing but sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need every Atlanta resident out there rooting for them now.
Yep. And don't waste your time cooking. Just use your energy. Just root, just cheer them on. Yep.
That's right.
So yeah, that is Prepped Ready Meals. Binge 15 at checkout for 15% off. And then our next friend is the Frost Buddy. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but I've got plenty of unique glassware that I use. If you're watching, Tanner's got something. Logan had a little something there. Yeah, we've all got sort of our thing, but why don't we all just get a go-to container, get a Frost Buddy? It's incredible. I'm a big koozie guy, and they've somehow figured to make one that completely fits any vessel shape, slim cans, regular size cans, bottles. I don't know. I was on there last week. They got like wine bottle ones and stuff too. It's crazy. They've got everything. The Universal 2.0 is what you want to go for. It's machine washable as well, which is always a big thing. So no longer will your dishwasher. Oh, are we getting a live demo?
We're getting a live demo. I completely forgot, but I actually, sorry to cut you off, Matt.
No, you're good.
We got, this is not scripted, but I got a Frost Buddy of my own. And I didn't even notice on the bottom, it shows you the different size cans and bottles. You're definitely not gonna be able to see
it's
that.
It's not coming.
Not going to happen. So here we are. Regular Dr. Pepper can. Nothing crazy about it. You just slide it in, stops, put the lid on, nothing. No problem. Maybe you're feeling a little saucy, though. Maybe you're at the pool. Maybe you're not at the pool anymore. It's November, but you want a Vizzy.
You're trying to keep it warm, actually. We're drinking warm Vizzies all winter.
It kind of slides around a little bit. No problem. Just pop that lid on, twist.
Seal it around.
Wait a second. How did it just expand?
The silicone lid tightened it on a little bit.
No, but like you put the Dr. Pepper can and it was at the top, but then you put that one.
I'll show you, actually, Tanner. After I show you, this is like a monster-ish size can, one of those bigger boys.
Oh, Tanner loves that.
And you're looking at it and it's like sticking up a lot and you're like, what the heck? That's kind of uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So pop this bad boy out and then there's an insert that you can take out.
Oh,
just
shoot.
Slides right out.
Dang.
For bigger bottles and cans, and it just slides right in.
Okay, that's how they do it. Modular design.
This is what you can see, though.
Yeah.
So,
I see how it works.
They've got divots like in the can that will make it stop at certain can sizes. It's awesome, man. I love
it. Seems fucking awesome.
Yeah. Why not just get you one? Like Matt said it. We all have 50 glasses, 50 water bottles. Every new company you work at gives you a water bottle that only fits one kind. This fits all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
The only bottle I don't think it holds is one of those short, like Modelo bottles. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah,
Matt?
Yeah. They got kind of a weird shape to them.
Yeah, it's like a lack of a better term. It's like the chode of alcohol bottles.
You don't need to drink that anyway. It's got all that foil on it for no reason.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so. Yeah, like Logan said, no longer really dishwasher be filled with 7 different bottles and coolers after a long week. Frost Buddy's there to solve that problem. If you're interested in hopping on this train with us, go to frostbuddy.com and use code Logan Lewis, all one word, for 10% off your purchase. And start drinking it cool. It's tailgate season. It's going to be, walk around with a little something to keep you warm season pretty soon here. So you just want to make sure you're ready for that. So with all our bills paid there, let's get into talking about it. And literally as I was sitting down to the show, my phone buzzed with some breaking news from Logan. So Tanner, I don't know if you're aware of this, but if I told you someone was going to be voicing Garfield the cat in an upcoming animated feature, I'll give you 3 guesses.
Chris Pratt.
Yes.
No way.
Did you see the news?
No.
So I made this joke to Logan before. In addition to Mario, he's going to be playing Garfield. So he's just going to be crushing Italian food on the reg.
That's awesome. How do I guess that?
We need a cinematic universe with all of Chris Pratt's characters in it.
Yeah, yeah. Somehow Andy Dwyer, Emmett from the Lego Movie, Star-Lord.
Yeah. The Jurassic shithead, World guy.
Yeah, shithead boyfriend from Wanted. So
I forgot about that.
Dude, how? It's classic. He gets hit with the keyboard. So yeah, that is that's the breaking news. Anything other than just how is this man finding the time to do all these gigs?
He's like the new, I'm trying to think of like an actor in like recent memory that has been like as busy as Chris Pratt is. Maybe, I mean, I don't want to make this comparison, but like The Rock is really busy. Ryan Reynolds is always busy.
The Rock sort of came to mind. I feel like he's always got like something going.
Yeah, so I'm game. Matt, please tell me that. Actually, pause that statement. We have to do a run through of the OG Garfield movie played by Bill Murray.
Oh gosh.
More on Bill Murray later.
Yeah, more on him later. But so moving right along, I feel like I'm the best person to deliver this news. It was basically during the first sort of returns of the public seeing of Dune, but part two is officially on the way. So we will definitely keep you appraised of everything that happens with that. Seems like everybody involved with it posted something that they were excited to have it happen. So yeah, hopefully you guys can come around on it by then. I believe 2022 is what it says. Or 23.
Okay.
I will confirm this.
Confirming. Get confirmed.
Yep, October 20th, 2023. So, wow. Yeah, 2 years away. So you've got, it's a long movie, but you guys have plenty of time to watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dune 2.
So, moving along to Bill Murray. In a very Bill Murray way, he spoiled that in an interview, he will be entering the MCU during Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. The article wasn't great. It basically sounded like he was trying to not say that he was in it, but also not say he was in it. It was very unclear about who he's going to be.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, man.
He's going to be Kang.
I don't think he is.
Jonathan Majors and pretty Bill sure they've Murray already got that guy. Similar looking.
Yeah, man. I mean that's all we got. I mean,
right? Yeah.
He pretty much just hinted that he's going to be in the movie. So, and there's no speculation on who he's playing because we have no idea what the plot is of Ant-Man 3.
Right. We really only know that. That Kang the Conqueror is going to be involved in some way. Were you raising your hand, Tanner?
I was raising my hand.
This isn't Microsoft Teams. You can just speak.
He could be playing like an older. He could be playing an older version of Ant-Man or something. Because Ant-Man's funny. So maybe
I thought that.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that. I also thought that he could be playing, like an older version of someone.
Yeah, because like, they're definitely going to be doing some time travel shiznit. So,
is that the precedent that the rest of the MCU movies are going to involve multiversal and quantum realm and time change and time travel?
That's just going to make it into a mess. I feel like they were doing a good job of, you know, hitting a lot of major, just good classic comic book storylines and sort of doing them like one at a time. But I feel hopefully this doesn't lead into them trying to do like multiple things across like using the multiverse as kind of like a way to tie in a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Good deal.
Cool. Any more thoughts on this very Bill Murray-esque spoiler?
Is he playing Peter Venkman? Or are they going to make the Ghostbusters canon?
Maybe. Hey,
Sony owns Ghostbusters. If Sony and Marvel strike a bigger deal,
sure.
Can we get the Ghostbusters in
Quantumania?
In Quantumania?
Yeah. So staying within the realm of Marvel, reportedly a movie about the Thunderbolts is in the works. Now, if you were around for our mostly Falcon and Winter Soldier discussion, the Thunderbolts is kind of like the, I wouldn't call them evil Avengers or dark Avengers necessarily, because those are other things, but they're led by Baron Zemo. They feature the Red Hulk, John Walker. And canonically, I can't quite find other people who are on that team.
I think based on the end credit scene of Black Widow, name was recruiting
Louis Dreyfus
was recruiting,
Yelena.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And then I think that's it. I could be wrong, but yeah, like William Hurt, his Red Hulk, John Walker, Baron Zemo.
Yeah,
I think that's it. Along with a darker Black Widow, which is what rumored is for her to be Yelena.
Yeah. Well, we'll have plenty of time to speculate. Production is rumored to be beginning in 2023, so plenty of speculation time on that.
Very cool.
I think other than Dune and Chris Pratt, we're all Marvel, actually. I should have thought about that.
Here says the MCU Thunderbolts could also include Ghost, the villain from Ant-Man 2, as well as Taskmaster. And sure. This piece of artwork includes the Punisher.
Okay.
So not necessarily bad guys, but definitely not good guys.
Anti-heroes at the very least. Yeah, best, I should say.
Right.
But focusing a little bit more on the immediate future, our weekly No Way Home update. Allegedly, the villain count of No Way Home is 5, and that is definitely not with the Rhino, reports say.
Yeah, if you go to Twitter and go to the trending topics, for the past 2 weeks straight, legit, I think No Way Home has been the top trending topic because people are just talking about it.
Right.
Because we've had all this speculation about if a trailer is coming, and they're not releasing trailers, but they released the Empire magazine. They released that screenshot today of Spider-Man, like, just on the edge of something, like it reveals nothing. They've just got us by the balls at this point. And honestly, they don't need to release another trailer. They don't need to, but they will. But either way, back to that subject matter at hand. Yeah, I saw a report early last week because earlier this week in the rundown, I had Rhino like confirmed as the sixth Sinister Six villain.
Yeah.
But then I saw reports from this notable and creditable leaker that says that like Rhino is actually at Sony and MCU Marvel like the butt of many jokes and will not be in the movie at all.
Dang.
Which means they're just going for a Sinister Five.
They're lying. There's going to be some six.
Unless Venom sneaks in there.
Yeah.
But Venom is such a big character that part of me thinks that they're not going to make him sidelined. They're going to give him versus Tom their own movie.
Yeah, that makes sense. But also, if you're gonna have 5 villains in a Spider-Man setting, why not just throw in a sixth?
It seems like a missed opportunity.
But you know, I feel like we'll trust them to do the right thing on this,
and they will.
I've never considered it, but it could be Mysterio. He could not be dead. Like,
that's true.
There's been toys that have leaked, like in action figures and shit that I've seen that have the No Way Home labels on it and Mysterio's in it, or Vulture. Vulture could be the sixth. I don't know. We'll see.
What we will also see on, this is along the same lines as that Bill Murray news, but a little bit looser. A current rumor is that to play MODOK in the MCU, Jim Carrey is the top dog. Which I kind of see it. MODOK is basically just a giant floating head, and Jim Carrey does some really good mugging. So that really, it's really a good, good mix there.
And he can make weird faces. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally what he is like a floating head with like T-Rex arms. Or I think like there's comic book iterations of him that's just like a really, really, really fat guy sitting in like a hover chair.
Yeah.
Kind of like Wally. So, yeah, I saw this on the TL this morning too from that same Spider-Man leaker.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, there could be smoke here. And I mean, at this point, who's not trying to join the MCU?
I know. They're bringing everybody in.
I want a little, just a crumb of MCU.
Everybody wants it.
Just be an extra.
So, yeah, that is, well, that's, I'll say the first half of kind of the breaking news, because we got trailers.
This was National Trailer Week.
It was National Trailer. That movie you're watching, National Trailer. What do we want to talk first? We want to talk Lightyear first?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm hyped.
To infinity. Hyped?
And beyond.
Yeah, I'm a hype man. First of all, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, it looks great.
It, I mean, there's also been a lot of, I've been on Twitter a lot lately, and there's been a lot of debate about this movie being like people confused about what it's about. So let me just clarify this, because I think I got it down. This movie is about the astronaut that the Buzz Lightyear toy is based off of. It's not based off of the toy that we know in the Toy Story movies. It's based on the real life character that Buzz the toy was based off of.
So there is like a human in the Toy Story universe named Buzz Lightyear, and this is his story.
Maybe, I don't know about Lightyear, but at least Buzz. I don't know what where the Lightyear comes into play, but like, I'm thinking that like their owner, like Andy, probably saw some news story of an astronaut named Buzz that saved the world or some shit. So they made a toy based off of him.
Okay.
But my biggest question is Buzz Lightyear Star Command canon in the Toy Story universe?
We'll find out.
Tanner, do you know what that is?
Yeah, the Star Command hits what he reports to every 2 seconds.
No, but like, do you know what Buzz Lightyear Star Command is?
As a property. Oh,
that old show?
Yeah, the one on Disney.
Don't say four olds. It was when we were watching it.
Hey, only give us two olds. We're only in our mid-20s. It's not that old.
It probably is 20 years old. I will give you that.
Holy shit, has it been that? I am fact-checking when the first episode aired of Buzz Lightyear Star Command. But you can go on, Matt.
But yeah, man. Like you said, just gorgeous. I thought it was a really impressive looking trailer, and I also feel like it was kind of a different style than we've seen Pixar do in a while, sort of going back to a lot of metals and plastics and stuff, whereas a lot of their stuff has been a lot more organic looking recently. So I'm excited to see them go back to that look that made them iconic with the original Toy Story.
The first episode aired October 2nd, 2000.
Dang,
I remember. Did anybody remember the fact that Wayne Knight was the voice of Zurg?
I don't even know who Wayne Knight is.
He's the fat guy in Seinfeld, the fat guy in Jurassic Park, the fat guy in
Nidri?
Yeah.
I just started watching Seinfeld, fun fact.
Dude, there's no way that this man was the voice of Zurg.
Dude, the streets are saying, and probably IMDb is saying.
Damn, they had a solid cast. Patrick Warburton played Buzz. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't Tim Allen. That's interesting. I did not know that.
He's kind of a good sound alike, though. That same kind of machismo. Yeah.
This guy is like on the, if there was a Mount Rushmore of animated character voices, Patrick Warburton would be on there for sure.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton, Tom Kenny.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
And
that's it.
Billy West.
Can we put Chris Pratt on that list now?
There we go. All right, that's the Mount Rushmore. Clip it.
Okay. Sweet. I'm excited for it. Yeah, I'm excited.
Cool. Moving along, sort of tying into just little off-color comments we made earlier. Atlanta season 3 technically got a trailer, but I only realized it at the very end when Brian Tyree Henry was there with his paperboy chain on. I have not delved into the theories upon this trailer yet, but have either of you / do you have any interest in Atlanta?
Never seen it.
Really?
No. Is it good? Should I?
Yeah, it's good.
It's, you have to go in like saying, all right, this episode could be about whatever. Like, you can't use the previous one as like, okay, I know what this show is about. Like, especially the second season, it's just all over the place.
I don't want to compare it to Dave because I think the quality is better than Dave, but it's the mm-hmm. same studio.
Yeah.
And kind of the same presence, kind of just based on like a rapper's life. But each episode, like one episode of Atlanta, they're like at a pool party, and the next they're like, the whole episode is about them like arguing about shoes in the parking lot of a mall.
Yeah. Actually, in a very rare move, Don Glover took to Twitter and like was talking. I think the article I saw said he was, quote, side-eyeing people who said Dave was good. I'm like, damn. Let's get some beef up here. That'll just get better shows for everybody.
Well, dude, I'm just looking at the guest list of Buzz Lightyear Star Command. Dude, Mark Hamill, Jon Favreau, they were all guest stars in this show.
That's crazy.
But we're not gonna. This isn't a Buzz Lightyear Star Command podcast
yet. Although, we run through it.
Can we run through Buzz Lightyear Star Command?
I'm not watching the whole series.
Or do a rewatch?
I'll watch exactly 2 episodes. I promise you that.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of Mark Hamill, why did I say that so weird? We got more Star Wars Extended Universe content. We got a trailer for The Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Just hype, Tanner? That's all you got for me?
Well, yeah, because it looks awesome.
Moving on, I was kidding.
It's a very interesting concept, him being on Jabba's chair. He wants to rule with respect. Respect. So that's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Respect. I feel like that's not going to last, though. He's fucking Boba Fett.
I don't know, man. It's a different but similar tone as The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still that serious. It almost feels like a Western, mm-hmm. like, crime thriller. But, like, at the same time, it just feels somehow darker. Like, because they're focusing on the world of the bounty hunter and the world of the underground, like, black market, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks tight. It
does. Yeah. We thankfully don't have to wait too long. It is premiering December 29th, so don't even have to wait until next year. So
sweet.
That is tight.
Yay.
Just got a few more here. Who asked for Tiger King 2?
Nobody.
It doesn't really matter because we're getting it.
In a few weeks, I think.
Wait, what?
I think it's like coming out in like 2 weeks. I have a release date written down actually in my notes here in the hot stuff. Yeah, Tiger King season 2 premieres on November 17th.
That is recent. That is soon.
Yes, very soon.
What did you think of the trailer?
I think exactly what you think, Matt. There's no reason we're getting this. Why do we get this? I'll tell you why. Because Netflix was like, holy cash cow.
Yep.
And Joe Exotic probably heard about how popular the damn show was in prison. Was like, get me more.
Yeah. Him and everyone else that's in this just weird universe of that no one really knew existed until this show shined the light on it. I wonder if we'll also get a weirdly hosted by Joel McHale sit down after season 2. I like the guy, but that was just so odd.
Why'd they get Joel McHale?
I think because he's got hosting chops, and I also want to say it was to sort of sneaky promote Community that just got on Netflix like right around that same time.
That's funny.
So, Tanner, you got any Tiger King 2 trailer thoughts?
I've never seen the first one.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
You're one of the few people that haven't watched Tiger King.
It was just one of those things where everybody told me to watch it, and I was just like, nah. You know when like everyone rides the hype, and like same thing with Squid Game for me. It's like, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely am going to, because, you know, it's supposed to be amazing.
Amazing isn't the right word. Entertaining for sure.
Yeah.
Like, you'll watch the first episode and you'll be like, well, damn, I gotta keep going.
Right.
But like, you don't love yourself for it. It's not something you're gonna finish and be like, that time well spent.
Right. You were just like, well, this is a part of the world that I didn't know existed until this very moment. Here they are. So for this last trailer we're talking, Logan, I'll let you take the lead, because I feel like, or was this a Tanner add-on?
It might have been me, because I don't know if Tanner adds anything to the rundown.
Dang.
What's the last trailer on the list here?
Spider-Man Lotus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Spider-Man Lotus is a fan film that is being made. Oh, let me get it real quick. I saw the trailer on Twitter. It was actually trending underneath the Spider-Man Homecoming No Way Home section of Twitter, Spider-Man Lotus. And it's being made by a guy named Gavin J. Knopp. And it's just a fan film. It's not affiliated with Sony. It's not affiliated with Marvel. It's just a fan Spider-Man film. I guess it kind of takes place like in a world where Spider-Man is really young, but he also like lost Gwen Stacy in like a tragic accident. And the whole movie looks like it's not even like a hardcore Spider-Man flick, more of just like a kid who lost his girlfriend that's also Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then the last shot of the trailer, you get a Green Goblin laugh. You don't see him or anything. You do see a couple shots of him web slinging, and it looks very good for being an independent fan film.
Yeah, definitely. The suit looks great.
Yeah.
That's usually another way you can tell it's not, you know, the highest budget thing, but yeah.
So I just think it looks interesting. I don't know if it's coming to theaters. I don't know if it's going to be something we have to stream on YouTube or buy on Stars or something. I assume a studio might pick it up.
Sneaky shouts to Stars.
Yeah, I don't know why I mentioned Stars, but but yeah. And I actually went to the director's face or his Twitter page, and he actually got a DM from John Watts, the director of the Homecoming, the MCU Spider-Man movies. And he just said, yo, your trailer looks amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, here we go.
I'm here.
Yeah. I think, like you said, I think it's a really good, unique angle on kind of like the Peter. I mean, Spider-Man / Peter Parker, but it looks like a lot more Peter Parker than Spider-Man. And I think that that's something that's never really a bad thing. So, yeah. Tanner, are you interested?
Before we move on, sorry, Tanner, I do have confirmation on the budget.
$20,000.
Yep. Wow. Most of it has been funded by fans.
Wow. That's cool. Always really cool.
So
I'm here for it.
Anyway, Tanner, sorry.
Of course I'm excited for it. It's a Spider-Man thing. I wonder how long it'll be.
I don't know. We'll gotta think out. It'll be short.
Yeah. I don't really have much info on indie movies. I don't really have much of a feel for it. If it's just don't really know. So we will find out. I definitely want to sort of stay interested in that. And I think it's also really cool that they're not just getting completely sued. That's always fun.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yep. So there it is. Done with news. Only took us 35 minutes or so to do it, but there's a lot happening, man, there.
Yeah, there's a lot. You got to talk about the stuff that's happening.
Pipeline's getting filled back up. So, ready to move on to a couple different things that we watched this past week. Do you guys want to go, or do you want to have the whole squad discuss something?
Let's me and Tanner knock this out real quick.
Go for it.
I will tell you a little bit about the movie that Tanner and I discussed, that we watched, and it is entitled No One Gets Out Alive. It's a movie on Netflix. It's about an hour and 25 minutes. It's rated R. The synopsis says, an immigrant in search of an American dream who, after forced to take a room in a boarding house, finds herself in a nightmare she can't escape. This movie stars nobody you know, and it's written and directed by nobody you know. However, I think the acting was pretty good. I mean, it was good acting. And that's it. No, let me tell you something straight up. The first half of this movie
terrified
the shit out of me, man. When I tell you, like, Matt, you would not like this movie.
I feel like I knew that.
You would not like this movie, bro. Yeah. This movie was terrifying. The first 45 minutes or so, I think I texted Tanner and I was like, bro, I am freaking out right now. Catherine had gone to bed. It was a little later. I was out in the living room by myself, covering my eyes like a 12-year-old because I was scared shitless.
And fun fact, I woke up this morning and saw a missed FaceTime call from Logan and an I'm freaking out text.
Aw. Little buddy.
Dude, I was freaking out. This movie, the best way I can describe this, though, is it had me in the first half.
Same here.
Got to admit.
That's where my rating comes in, Logan.
I forget what rating. I gave it. I might have given it a 2 out of 5.
You did. I gave it 3.
Yeah, I think that's very generous.
Yeah, I agree. Because as soon as the ending came up, it was this stupid. Like, stupid-ass monster.
Stupid monsters.
Like, what the... And the ending, it's like...
They tried so hard to make it something really deep, but it wasn't.
Ugh. No, it was... They should have just made it some damn demonic character instead of this freaking... If I can explain what it was, I can't.
I can't.
It's like a lizard slash person...
It's
slash the mouth is where the, you know, typically your genitals are.
Yep.
And
it would just eat people. But the first like 45 minutes of this movie, they convince you that this girl lives in this boarding house and this boarding house is haunted and she keeps getting visited by spirits and she keeps seeing spirits. And this whole movie, you're like, what is going on? But then the last 25 minutes of this movie, they're just like satanic ritual. Weird demon vagina monster. Yeah. And it just completely took me out of it. It was at the point where I think I audibly like had the blanket up and I was like, really?
Yeah, same,
this
dude.
Is where they decided to go with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all I have to say. It was spooky as shit the first hour. But after that, man, get out of here, man. What's with Netflix and these stupid horror movies, bro?
They're just trying to make more of something that they're trying to make something that's going to be lasting. But that movie, like the ending insinuated that there was going to be another one almost.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. Like you saw that she inhabited the powers of, I can't even explain it without feeling stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, yeah. Right. Like try to explain it, Logan, and respect yourself.
I legit don't know how to start.
No, you can't.
I had to Google the ending explained because I had no idea what just happened.
I didn't even go that far. I was like, okay, this weird fucking monster, I'm out.
But I will say, if you're in the mood for something spooky, throw this on and then cut it off right at about the 50-minute mark.
And then make up your own ending because it's probably better.
Dang.
Make up your own ending because it will be better than this
DIY movie.
Just wasn't good, man.
It's like a Mad Lib.
But it wasn't horrible because the first half of the movie had me very entertained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
I was sitting like, you know, like freaking chattering my teeth and a little nervous. And then I was like, the whole rest of the movie, like, okay.
All right.
Interesting.
I won't say why I'm about to say this, but I'll just say stay tuned. But I think if I really had to give this movie an accurate score, I think I'd give it like a D+. That's all I'll say.
D+.
A D+ or a C-. I don't know where I'm at, but that's all I'll say.
Interesting that you would say it like that.
But as of right now, 2 out of 5. it just, the only good thing about this movie was that first hour of horror. But after that, it was like, what the fuck?
That's where my 3 out of 5 came from. Because, you know, an hour out of the hour and 24, it was pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay, that's it.
That's it for No One Gets Out Alive.
I picked that movie, so damn it.
There we go. Well, moving on, we also watched Army of Thieves in the ever-expanding Zack Snyder Army of Verse. Army of Zombiverse that he's got going on. Army of Thieves is described on IMDb, so we'll see how they do on this one, is, quote, a prequel set before the events of Army of the Dead, which focuses on German safecracker Ludwig Dieter leading a group of aspiring thieves on a top secret heist during the early stages of the zombie apocalypse. It is directed and starring Matthias Schweighofer, written by Zack Snyder. Shay Hatton did the screenplay, and Matthias Schweighofer stars, as did Natalie Emanuel, who was Melisandre from Game of Thrones, for those of you out there, and I do not know what else Ruby O'Fee is in. So maybe we'll go in descending order on this. Tanner, you gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I just went into it without the thoughts of the first one, which I did not like. And I liked the best part of the first movie was him, in my opinion. He was funny. And he was still funny in this one. Like, that scene where he tries to punch the guy at the end.
That would be an accurate depiction of me punching somebody.
Same here. Yeah.
With you?
Yeah.
But I kind of got attached to his character. It was good. It was interesting seeing all the gears and how complex. And I always wondered, like, how, and like, it shows how his senses are so, like, acute and attuned, which was pretty cool.
Sure.
Like, cause I was like, how the fuck is that? How the hell is that possible? You know?
Yeah.
Like, but the whole stuff, I mean, I just went into it thinking, like, this is a movie and I'm not going to think about the other one. And it was just a good story. I enjoyed the story. And kind of a sad ending, though.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Logan, what about you?
Oh, my God. Thanks, auto-playing Hyundai ad. did you guys hear that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Turn up next time.
This Hyundai ad just straight up played itself. Thanks, IMDb. I enjoyed it less than Army of the Dead, which, first of all, let's just acknowledge IMDb's synopsis contradicts itself.
How so?
By saying it's set before the events of Army of the Dead. Well, I guess it's set before the main plot line of Army of the Dead, but it basically takes place during the beginning of Army of the Dead.
Right. There's some overlap there.
Yeah, there's a tad bit of overlap, but I mean, I thought it was fine. I thought it was a cool thriller heist movie, although I don't think it did anything new per se.
No.
There was these, of course, larger than life set pieces, them breaking a bank out of the building by helicopter, and there's villains and people that, you know, betray other people, and there's people that are trying to hunt down everybody, and there's double crossing, and
yeah.
I actually found he was one of my favorite parts of the first movie, and I found him quite obnoxious and annoying in this movie.
What?
I found him very annoying. There was one scene in particular that I think he over exaggerated, like a fall, or he got scared or something. In fact, Matt, you're shaking your head. I immediately, honestly, thought of you in this moment and thought Matt probably hated that scene, bro.
Well, I'm glad I'm in your head.
So, I thought it was fine. I mean, do we need more of these? No. Will we get them? Yes.
Yeah. I think we're getting a whole animated series.
Which, you know, it pains me to say because I enjoyed Army of the Dead, but this movie just felt like, first off, Zack Snyder must have been real confident in Army of the Dead because this movie was filming basically as soon as Army of the Dead ended.
Yeah. I mean, if it's out now and that was, what, 4 months ago?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more, but.
Yeah, but still, like, there's no way they filmed this movie in 4 months, did post-production, did, you know, everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought it was fine. I think it was average. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't amazing, but I think the coolest part of this movie, honestly, was every time he cracked a safe and it showed the gears turning on the inside. That was probably the coolest part to me. But other than that,
Yeah.
Well, I loved how jumpy he was.
Yeah, since I said we're doing this descending order, as you guys could probably guess, I wasn't the biggest fan of this movie. First off, it didn't have to be 2 hours long.
No,
absolutely not.
It was way too long.
Absolutely.
Way too long. Too much BS. There were scenes where they were trying to do character work with him and Gwendolyn. And I don't know. It's difficult because I knew that this was a prequel, but I knew that Gwendolyn wasn't in the, you know, the base movie. So I'm like, well, why are you spending so much time in this? And I didn't see him as like a big enough character in Army of the Dead for me to like really need to know his full backstory. I felt like that part was something that could have been cut. I think... I feel bad because I really like him as like a director and a writer, but I think it just comes down to just the script again. I feel like nobody has really much to do. I feel like a lot of the characters are one note. He's sort of the most complicated, but he still just kind of aw shucks his way through like all of these things. In the synopsis, it said he leads an army of thieves. No, they like drag him along and then like
barely.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, the whole time I was just like, this is just very silly, and the guy definitely like got on my nerves like at the end. And like, also, why does, I don't know,
you're not alive.
What full spoilers? I mean, I guess we're sort of very into the mullet by now, so I can do this. Why did Gwendolyn turn herself in? She was way more, she's way more capable than him. She could have done so many more things in the world than like he could have. We see exactly where his story stops. Also, that bothered me that they completely tacked on footage in the same scene from Army of the Dead to the end of this movie, when they've explained everything that that scene said directly, sort of inherently. And like, it would have been cool to, I mean, I don't see myself doing this, but going back and watching Army of the Dead and being like, oh, it's that, you know, long German name of that one, the, you know, the fourth safe in the cycle. So it's like, oh, that would have been like a nice Easter egg, but no, they just like, they shot their load on it already.
I think they really, really, really wanted you to know that this was connected to Army of the Dead.
Oh,
like the subtle zombie scenes and it, like that just felt so like, why is he having dreams about zombies? And he has been nowhere near the apocalypse at this point.
I mean, I guess he saw like on TV and stuff, and I don't know, just sort of,
he's a scared guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's a jumpy feller. So I don't know. I wasn't crazy about it, but I don't think it was like poorly made. I just didn't connect with it.
Here's my theory here, and then we'll move on.
Sure.
I think Zack Snyder says, I want to make a movie, and nobody tells him no.
At this point, yeah.
I think he's gotten to the point where he's made some bangers. Like, he's made 300. He's made some, like, Sucker Punch is a lot of fun. He's made some fun movies. And people are like, we trust this guy. Like, he got to make his Justice League movie, and that got him a ton of attention, I'm sure. I think that people were just like, he probably went to Netflix and was like, I'm going to make a cinematic universe based on a zombie heist movie. And now every other movie in the franchise is going to be a heist movie. And their Netflix was like, here's $12,000 billion. Do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that's just what we're gonna do. That's my impression of Zack Snyder.
That's your Zack Snyder. Like, did you crush that? But yeah, when I went to watch it yesterday, it said number two in Netflix. So that's probably made its money back. So that's the real reason. I think Zack Snyder just knows how to get people interested, and
he does it.
I was interested enough to watch it.
Yeah.
Also, this poster for the movie that I'm looking at on IMDb says more safes, less zombies, which,
God, see, they're trying so hard.
It's just I don't know.
The more you talk makes me want to bump it down.
So I'll keep talking then. Now we can move on to one of our favorite segments. We do it once a month, and seeing as, to pull back the curtain a little bit, it is the first of the month when we're recording. So going to get into what we've been binging, you know, sort of around the topics of this show. So Logan, you, I feel like you usually go last. So do you want to start us off this time?
Sure. So since the last time we did this, I've finished a few seasons of a few shows. I finished Boardwalk Empire. Absolutely loved it. Gave it a 4 out of 5 overall. It was a great mob show, a great show set in the 20s and 30s. Just a damn good time. I loved it. Nice. Finished season 2 of Ted Lasso. I stated before a couple weeks back or a couple months back that season 2 had lost me.
Okay.
It drew me back in by a really, really emotional episode. And it finished at a 3 out of 5 for me. Not as good as season 1. Season 1 was a 4, 4.5. But season, 3 out of 5 is fine.
Nice.
I watched the highly controversial Dave Chappelle special.
Okay.
Which I enjoyed a lot. Although I wasn't the butt of many of his jokes. So I can see why some people were very upset with him, but I thought it was funny. I enjoyed Dave Chappelle. I think he's a great comedian. So I watched that. I watched season 3 of You. I won't spoil it because I think Tanner, you're going through it right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
But I ended it that at a 4 out of 5. I really liked that too. Really good addition to that series. Can't wait to see where it goes from here because it's got some crazy potential. I started The Morning Show season 2. That's going on. That's ongoing.
Can I hop in real quick?
Yeah.
I've heard The Morning Show, specifically season 2, described as entertaining because, like, you have literally no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, me and friend of the program, Will DeFreeze, were chopping up about it the other day in the DMs. I was like, dude, I don't know if I should keep watching this show. And he was like, I am only watching it at this point because I've started it. But after season 2, I don't think I'm going to continue. And I was like, yep, that's accurate.
Yeah.
I abandoned The Sopranos.
Dang.
I am open to seeing. I'm seeing other people right now, but I'm open to returning in the future.
Sure. You're not going to get back to that gabagool in the near future.
Not in the near future, no.
Dang. Tanner is deceased.
Tanner is not happy. Either that or is... Oh, okay. I also abandoned Doom Patrol. I started Doom Patrol, watched 2 episodes of it, and was like, I don't know what's happening, and I don't care. So I jumped back on the Titans game.
Okay.
And I'm very entertained.
Nice.
Very entertained on that. And I'm on season 1 right now.
You and superhero TV shows, sort of like hit or miss. Either you're a fan or you just don't know what's going on.
Accurate. I started playing the Guardians of the Galaxy Square Enix game.
Okay.
Which I just started playing it yesterday. It's a ton of fun. So far, Tanner will probably speak to the same because I think he got it too. It's a ton of fun. But the thing I wanted to talk about, the thing that do not be surprised if we talk about our top TV seasons of the year, and this one might be my number one, It might beat WandaVision. It might beat all those other shows.
Wow.
And that's Midnight Mass.
Ah.
Absolutely fantastic, man. I loved this show. It's not for everybody. In fact, it shits on a lot of religion. Not really shits on it, but just kind of takes the word of scripture and bends it to the will of the plot.
Sure.
Very much so based on the Catholic way of mass and procedures and rituals and whatnot. But man, a wild ride. 7 episodes, I think. Gosh, so much fun, man. I loved this show. That's my main highlight, man. I absolutely loved that show. And you, real. I mean, I watched you in like a day and a half, the new season. I binged through that shit.
In the right place.
Yeah, absolutely. that's what I've been up to. So I'm excited to roll into the holidays. I'm excited to watch Titans. I'm excited to watch whatever's next.
Yeah, man.
What you got, Matt? What you been doing?
Dude, mine's pretty quick. Just sort of more the same. Been crushing The Sopranos. So got through, I think, season 3 last night. So maybe not exactly crushing it.
But you're chugging through, though. Wow.
I'm moving.
You're moving.
We're doing it. And then also sprinkle in some 30 Rock. That's a good show. I said that really weird, but we're not going to focus on that. I haven't been watching it so much as the girlfriend has, but The Nanny has been playing in our TV or on our TV. Pretty funny. I like it.
Yeah, I forget her name, but that used to be on like Nick at Night, wasn't it?
That so when she started watching, I told her the two things I know about it. Because I can hear it right now, actually. The studio audience for that show gets absolutely wild, just absolutely goes ham. And the theme song is fire, which I learned from watching it at Nick at Night after, you know, Friends or whatever it was.
Absolutely.
But yeah, those have been kind of the main things. Watched a few Halloween adjacent movies, got some What's New Scooby-Doo off when you wanted the spooky vibes but not necessarily the thing. Is it a hot take to say that that's better than like the original, like old school Scooby-Doo? That's a hot take.
Wait, like What's New Scooby-Doo, is that what it's like, called?
That's yeah, like the or like the more recent like animated versus like the super old school like classic.
Like Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Type
stuff. I love both of them. I mean, okay. I'm like looking at the artwork for the show right now, and like it's pulling me straight back into like my childhood. Like it was always on either really, really, really early in the morning or really, really late at night.
On Boomerang.
Boomerang all over it.
So yeah, that was kind of the go-to when you wanted a little dash of the creepy, creepy whatevers. And
you want some trivia for for Scooby-Doo? Scooby-Doo's real full name?
Scoobert Doo.
That's it.
Oh,
did not know that until just now.
And he's a Great Dane.
Absolutely, he is a Great Dane. Dude, the voice cast for Scooby-Doo, they are so 1950s.
Are you looking at their names or like their pictures?
Just stuff? Like their pictures. Like one of them, the guy who voiced Shaggy, Casey, he looks like he's straight from the mob.
Oh, yeah. Casey Kasem?
Yeah.
He's like he's like, you know, top. He's like Mount Rushmore, like radio guys. Like,
yeah. It says he passed away in 2014.
All right.
R.I.P.
Raced you to it.
There you go.
But yeah, been walking little old WD-40, so getting a lot of podcasts in. True crime ones, they've been kind of in the thing, so maybe that's another way I've been doing a lot of a spooky season. I haven't quite dug into Creeps and Crimes yet, but maybe that's sort of next on my list as I work through those. We went to our first post pandemic concert this past weekend. We saw Bleachers, so that was fun. So I've been listening to a lot of that, but yeah, man, just kind of a little bit of everything. Nothing too deep, nothing too crazy. So that's what I got going on. Maybe I'll listen to some Casey Kasem in a little bit here. Tanner, what's up with you, man? What's your deal?
Well, I've been on a little. I haven't watched Game of Thrones for a good 2 weeks now.
What is your deal, Tanner?
Yeah, I don't
know. Can that be the joke of our show? What's sure. Tanner's deal?
Well, I've been binging Publix in the past couple of weeks.
So
that's what's been happening. But
that new job.
Dude, yeah. Just pub subs? Just pounding them?
Oh, yeah. Too many. But I started watching Seinfeld, which is pretty good.
Okay.
What's the deal with that?
I don't know. I just love I always love older sitcoms like that. And they're just funny.
Are you starting at season one? I've heard that that's a little bit rough. It's rough.
Yes. The quality's horrific. It's okay. But
what's the deal with season one?
Come on.
It's like they gave up. What's the deal?
Why don't they just turn up the resolution? Come on.
You're right.
They just turn the knob and it looks better.
Turn from bad to good. All right, we'll let you talk now.
Thank you. But so I'm watching You, season 3, episode 5 right now. It's pretty good. I've really liked this season. I think it's going to end up being one of the best, to be honest. And gaming, I've been playing, still playing Madden Ultimate Team here and there. Pretty good, even though whenever I, get into the playoffs, I lose horrendously.
Dude, let's break down your team. Let's figure it out. We'll find your problems right here on air.
My defense.
Oh, okay. Well, figured that out pretty quick.
I haven't put a whole lot of money in the cornerbacks. They're slow.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? But Guardians of the Galaxy, bought that. It's freaking amazing, and I cannot wait to keep playing it. It's like Logan, it's like a 25-hour game. You know that?
I did not know that, but now I'm more excited.
So long. Yes, it's so long. So much time I'm going to get to spend on it. No, it's nothing else but the straight story, which is awesome. So, yeah, not a whole lot going on over here in Tannerville.
What kind of game is that? Is it like an action one? Or
Linear story. No multiplayer. No online weird. No what do you call it? In-game purchases or anything? Nothing like that. Sure. Just a straight up linear original story. It's not. They're not voiced by the Marvel
right
voices and any of that.
Whole different universe. Mm-hmm. So much going on that I really. That's why I'm still playing. Honestly, like I want to know what the hell this universe is all about.
Sure.
But like I said, not a whole lot going on in Tannerville. Packers are 7-1.
Dude, they pulled out against the Cardinals. I didn't think they would. That team's hot.
And we had nobody playing either.
That game also birthed one of the greatest memes of the year.
Dude.
Yeah, Rodgers.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
Don't wear that helmet, right?
Throwing touchdown passes and winning games. That's all I know he's doing.
Oh.
But yeah, that's what's happening here.
That's what's going on, man. Well, I think that's a pretty good place to leave it. I can't think of anything else. I can't think of I did find about 9 more trailers that we could go through if
really
you guys want. No, just kidding.
Oh, I was about to get real hyped. Like, what they release? Like,
no, I don't think any breaking news this time.
I think tomorrow, it's been officially confirmed that tomorrow we're getting a new trailer from Morbius.
Okay.
Which I know is going to spark some debate next week. And we won't answer this question now, but I'll just pose the question for you guys to think about. What the hell? What universe does Mobius take place in? And I'll give you these tidbits on why I question that.
Sure.
Number one. In the first trailer, Morbius walks by a wall where Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is painted on the brick wall.
But it says murderer on it.
Yeah, and it says murderer on it.
So
number two, there's a newspaper. Bless you, Matt.
There's a
newspaper entitled The Daily Bugle. We're all familiar. And the headline at the top of it is Rhino wreaks havoc and Black Cat, like friend or foe. And that goes from the Amazing Spider-Man universe. But then at the end of the last Morbius trailer, we got a shot of Michael Keaton as Vulture. So what universe does this take place in? But remember, we get this movie a month after Spider-Man No Way Home in January. So maybe there's going to be some mind-bending shit going on here. Or maybe the events of No Way Home, what are the odds that, and this isn't about to turn into No Way Home theories, but what are the odds that that movie pulls all three of those universes into the one?
Pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, if the, like we're talking Sinister Six, I think that's pretty much where that might come from, and just sort of collapse the universes into one. And it's like, did you guys ever watch like the Arrowverse, like CW shows?
Yeah.
They always, they did like cross like stuff like that, but then they didn't explain it if it didn't happen on the show you watched. Like you're watching Arrow and it's like, Diggle has a son one episode, then the next there was some event that took place on the Flash, and then it turned into a daughter. I'm like, what? But anyway, so, just like random stuff like that. I think I can see that happening.
I think next week, man, we're gonna have a fire episode. It's gonna be, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Number one, The Eternals comes out this week. New Marvel content. We love it. Number two, Tanner brought this up to my attention the other day, but sneaky over the weekend, The Last Night in Soho premiered, the new Edgar Wright mystery film.
There's something I contributed.
Yeah. You, that wasn't earlier supposed to be a dig. I was just stating the fact that you don't ever go on that on the rundown and type anything.
This is true.
Which is true. You don't.
No.
Not a dig. It's just true.
Well, I know.
So that's coming out. So I think me and Tanner are going to try to get to a theater and maybe possibly see it. I don't know if our schedules will line up, but that could be another thing we talk about. And we discovered over the weekend that there's another Paranormal Activity movie that Sneaky dropped that I kind of want to check out.
Okay.
So if you don't, Tanner, and I know you won't, Matt, but I'll save a slot next week for that.
I'll watch it.
Okay. You can come over here and watch it. It's on Paramount Plus.
Perfect. Good. Don't have to go anywhere for it.
Sweet.
Well, Logan's.
Except Logan's, yeah.
Or mine. Yeah, me. Come here.
Come here.
But yeah, next week's going to be some fight. And then Mobius trailer. I keep calling him Mobius. Mobius is Owen Wilson's character from Loki.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's also... Oh no, that's Morpheus, the guy from The Matrix.
Yeah, let's not have all these Mophius names out here. This is the Mophius universe.
Yeah,
the Mophiverse.
Yeah. And on that note,
goodbye.
See you guys.
Bye. You didn't have to close it out that fast.
I didn't mean it to go that
quick. You didn't have to close us out, but that's pretty much it. And the music's already starting, so I guess.
Bye.
We're done.
I guess we're done. Nope. We can quit that now.